I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, a new book about the rivalry between John McEnroe and Bjorn Borg. But first, on Thursday at the French Open, Marty Fish advanced to the tournament's third round. That wouldn't be such a big deal if Fish weren't the only American man still competing in France. Joining me now to comment on that circumstance and what else has been happening at the French Open is Sports Illustrated's L. John Wertheim. Welcome back to Only a Game.
Ah, good to be back. Thanks, Bill.
As I mentioned, Marty Fish is the lone remaining standard bearer for the U.S. on the men's side of the tournament. Is this symptomatic of the state of men's tennis in this country?
You know, it is. I mean, you pick the tournament at which American men have done worse for generations. But truthfully, it's not much better at the other events. These are not flush times for American tennis, and there are all sorts of theories why.
We have spoken to John McEnroe in the past about his prescription for developing new top-quality male competitors in the U.S. Has he or has anybody else made any progress along that line?
Not really. And I think all of this is wrong-headed. I mean, my prescription is stop rooting by country, because what's going on in tennis is sort of a microcosm of globalization more generally, that, you know, the talent pool has gotten infinitely deeper, and they're playing tennis everywhere in the world now. They weren't a generation ago. And my prescription is that people just stop looking at country codes and root for players, because if you're banking on an American or an American generation sort of reclaiming what we had, you know, up until now, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, so that's an interesting perspective. How much does the country matter? I know British fans would love to see a Brit win at Wimbledon, but do tennis fans from other countries worry about these things?
You know, they do, and it's funny because the four countries that host the Grand Slam tournaments seem and have the most money seem to worry about it more than anyone. Sort of this wealth corrupts theory. But, I think tennis is such a global sport. It's not just that the players are coming from all over the place. It's that the events are all over the place, too. I mean, I think that's what's been overlooked. It used to be the circuit was largely based in North America. Well, that's not true anymore. And I think that has as much to do with sort of tennis's changing demographic as anything else. So you can't turn on the TV at 4 p.m. on a Sunday and necessarily expect to see an American event. But I think it's just a lost cause. I mean, if you look at the top 10, there have been times when 10 different countries have been represented. And if the Antarctic Federation would ever get its act together, you'd have all seven continents. I mean, it's really a global sport. And you want to say it's just asinine to expect your – it's sort of arrogant, as well as asinine to expect your country to produce this wildly disproportionate number of players.
Among the very accomplished players who didn't show up for this tournament were Venus and Serena Williams. I guess it doesn't help when two of the top women in the world don't come.
Yeah, I mean, the Williams sisters at this stage in the game, I think their combined age is about 60 right now, and they're sort of at that time, their bodies are breaking down a little. They've always had these outside interests, and if you sort of remove them from the equation, the picture is even more grim for American women.
A couple of U.S. women, Vanya King and Bethany Mattek-Sands, did enjoy some success in this tournament, although Mattek-Sands lost to Jelena Jankovic in the third round. But the story so far on the women's side seems to be the ousting of favorites. Were you surprised to see number two seed Kim Clijsters and Caroline Wozniacki, number one in the world, bounced out so early?
Yes and no. I mean, those results were very surprising. Not often you see the top two seeds eliminated the first week. But, you know, the women's field right now resembles sort of like, the Republican presidential pool. It's sort of all over the map, and the field is wide open. And, you know, it's been this way for a few years. The Williams sisters are great players, but they don't play particularly consistently. And nobody else has really filled that vacuum. And it's sort of been this sort of alternating number ones. And the number one player now, Caroline Wozniacki, has never won a Grand Slam, which has been the source of some concern. And, you know, you don't expect the top two seeds to go out this early, but it's very much in keeping with sort of the narrative of women's tennis these days.
That was a very interesting comparison, and I'm not sure who should be flattered and who should be insulted, the Republican candidates or the women tennis players.
And not often Caroline Wozniacki's been likened to Mitt Romney. Is that what you're saying?
All right, let's get a little more upbeat. Tell us about a player on the women's side who has been especially impressive.
Well, there are a couple, and we sort of have this German tennis sort of mini boomlet. After Steffi Graf, German tennis sort of faltered a little bit. Now we have a number of nice German players, Andrea Petkovic. The media likes her because she's outspoken, and the fans like her because she does a little dance when she wins, and she's a very nice player. And there's another player, Julia Georges, that nobody'd really heard of. There are some of these players that are coming through the ranks. I mean, Maria Sharapova's had a nice sort of mini comeback. If she wins this French Open, she'll have won all four majors. I mean, there are a lot of nice potential storylines, but you don't have, I mean, on the men's side, we have these really two and three dominating forces. The women's side is wide open. It's a very interesting contrast. It's sort of what do fans prefer, these sort of mini dynasties, or else this any given Sunday anyone can win. And I mean, the two tours are at very sort of, they're really at polar opposites right now, where the men's tour has really two or three viable candidates to win this, and the women's tour has about a dozen.
When you talk about overwhelming forces, Novak Djokovic's perfect season has been the headline story in tennis this year. I wonder, has his performance overshadowed everything else that's been happening at this tournament?
So far, yeah. I mean, so far, he really is the story in tennis right now. And, you know, for a good half decade, we had this great rivalry. We had Nadal and Federer and these two. I mean, you could make the case either of them are the greatest of all time. I mean, these tremendous champions. And now we're sort of this embarrassment of riches. Now we have this third guy coming up who's put together a six-month winning streak. So right now, he really is the story. One thing it's over, I mean, for better or worse, Djokovic has sort of overshadowed one of the not-so-nice stories, which is sort of this decline of Roger Federer, who just, you know, we're so accustomed. He sort of set this impossible bar, sort of a victim of his own standards, but he's not sort of clearly not the player he once was, and that's really been overshadowed by Djokovic and his unbeaten streak as well.
All right, I know this tournament has a ways to go, but you want to go out on a limb and pick a winner for us on each side?
Well, Mitch Daniels is out, so we can't use him. But no, I think Djokovic is probably... I picked Nadal just on track record, but I think, you know, realistically, Djokovic is probably playing better tennis right now. And the women's side, who knows? I mean, Maria Sharapova would be a nice story, nice boost for the tour. Svetlana Kuznetsova, who's won this event before, is another candidate. But the women's side is still absolutely wide open.
L. John Wertheim writes about tennis and various other things for Sports Illustrated. He's also the author of many books, among them Strokes of Genius and Scorecasting. John, thanks very much for speaking with me.
Thanks, Bill. Anytime.